I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to part two of this week's Clash of the Titles, the podcast that for the month of October pits two horror movies with lots in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. That's right, it's our Halloween countdown that is
Shocktober.
We spent Monday's episode looking for love among the stars at the school prom in 1976's Carrie. And today, we're looking for a cure to growing a tail and eating the neighborhood dogs as a pair of outcast sisters deal with the fact that one of them may well be turning into a werewolf. From 2000, Ginger Snaps.
So, Fitz, I think we should get together.
No. Out by 16 or dead in the scene, but together forever.
United against life as we know it.
Let's get out of here.
So, which film in this week's horror high school showdown will be victorious? We'll have a winner at the end of the show. So let's get it on. Welcome to Clash of the Titles.
Help me! Release the Kraken!
Hello, Clash Potters. High school, just a mindless little breeder's machine. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
Chris.
Wow. Not even I'm now really shoving it down. It's efficient. It's also weird. Welcome to part two of Carrie versus Ginger Snaps. As you well know, at the end of this episode, we have the verdict where we will declare which is definitively the better film. But before we get into this episode, it's time for a dip once again into the digital mailbag and a review from one of you to make us feel better about ourselves. Read by Chris Tilley, a.k.a. Chris Thrilly.
They don't always make us feel better about ourselves, let's be honest.
Not always. Not always. But we try not to read all of those.
It's from Rob T247, who says, my favourite pod. COTT is a brilliant, down-to-earth, funny, geeky, almost educational at times movie pod. Great concept, excellent range of movies. I love the chemistry between Chris, Vicky and Alex, and the group dynamic. Each episode is well researched.
Such a waste of time.
And full of little snippets and insights into the movie or the actors. It's my absolute fave every week. 5 stars. Thank you, Rob T247.
Didn't someone call us out on Twitter the other day because of us being bad-mouthing media studies? There's a media studies teacher who plays this podcast or recommends it to its students.
I wasn't called.
Yeah, no, you did.
Took an A-level in it. So did you, didn't you?
I
you did science.
I had no skin in the game. It was Muggins over here.
You said it was impossible to not get an A or something.
Yeah. He said he wasn't sure how his media studies students, A-level media studies students, were going to react to hearing that
pod
that he recommends. You've got a responsibility, Chris.
But as I said then, as I said on Twitter, as I'm saying now, is still better than Latin.
Sure.
I wasted 5 years of my life studying.
Thank you very much for playing us as an educational tool.
That blows my mind.
Your
that titillates the hell out of me.
They are students.
They're children.
No, but it's fine because it means lightly amused. It's not a problem.
Right then, on Monday, Chris was... No, V. V.
Chris was listening.
Oh, wait, what have I done? So on Monday, V and Carrie killed off poor old Nancy Allen, which means today... This was a long, long day. Chris is dealing with a girl who becomes a bit of an ass howl.
Just now. Oh, my God.
Boom, boom. Chris, take us on a journey.
Ass howl's good.
Yeah, all right, fair
enough. Thank you, Chris. Okay. Thank you.
Ginger Snaps is a movie about a girl who won't let her sister be. Sure, Ginger has developed mood swings and lustful urges in a tale, but she's just being her. That teacher was annoying, so he got what was coming. That boy was disrespectful, so he got what he deserved. That other boy was a drug dealer, so sealed his own fate. And that janitor, well, too bloody nice.
Anyway, looking down her top.
Well done for getting rid. Meaning Ginger Snaps is a superhero origin story cut short by villainous sibling. Discuss.
Okay.
Vicky, when did you first see this?
I can't remember, but I've seen it before. It was on the telly. I remember there was a huge fuss. So I was like, I must see this film.
And huge fuss?
I remember, you've got to see this kind of fuss.
Okay.
So whenever it would have come out, really, but I didn't go to the cinema to see it.
It's weird that you say that. I remember there being a bit of a fuss about this movie as well.
A big fuss?
Not a big fuss, but it was one of these movies that people were murmuring about. Yes. Like, oh, you've got to see Ginger Snaps. You've got to see Ginger Snaps. This really interesting werewolf origin story. Yep. Different take on the werewolf movie. I watched it when I was living on Lewisham Way with
maybe we watched it together.
Your current, as this goes out, husband, Mark.
Did you?
I didn't watch it with you, and I certainly didn't watch it with Mark, because I was like, I'm going to watch Ginger Snaps, and he may have well said, it's too episodic, but...
He's wrong.
He certainly didn't want to watch it with me. He was probably watching Suspiria for the 27th time. It wasn't on his shelf of VHSs. But I watched it, and I didn't love it. I'll be completely honest. I thought I was going to like it because of this fuss. And so I was excited to watch it this time.
Yeah, I missed the fuss.
Oh, there was fuss. Have you not heard about the fuss?
Plenty of fuss.
I missed the fuss. So I watched it 1 year between a Fright Fest and a Fantastic Fest.
Right.
I know that was the time frame.
Sure.
Which is about a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
That's it. I'd thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I watched it again this week, and then promptly lost all my notes and had to watch it again.
Oh, love.
Which was super annoying.
That's a nightmare.
I thought your synopsis was brief today. I just sort of just went, blap, there it is.
But also super useful, because I could see that it was cleverer than I realised the first time. I was able to check things the second watch. So I will get into them once we talked about a bit of background. So in January of 1995, director John Fawcett approached screenwriter Karen Walton with a premise for a screenplay. As Fawcett puts it, I knew that I wanted to make a metamorphosis movie and a horror film. I also knew that I wanted to work with girls. That's basically how it all started.
Okay.
He said that at the time. He's spoken about it more recently. Turns out they were boyfriend and girlfriend when this happened. So they were working together, a true collaboration between this couple.
It's interesting, isn't it? I read that quote and I was like, yeah, this does smack of wanting to make a metamorphosis body horror movie, as opposed, if I can be so bold, to necessarily a werewolf movie.
There's a lot of ideas happening
here.
Yes,
that's fair.
I'm going to come back to this theme, because I think it works in many respects. I think the werewolf bit feels like an afterthought.
Walton says, John and I talked a lot about working together. We just had to try and find an idea that appealed to us both. Initially, I didn't want to get involved in writing a horror movie at all. I generally find them very disappointing as stories and pretty predictable and frustrating in terms of the depiction of females. Mm-hmm. But she thought she could do something with that. The story developed into this satire of suburbia, tapping into being a teenager and feeling like an outsider surrounded by mindless sheep. This is Karen Walton talking again. The film is primarily about subverting the final girl trope in horror movies. It was important that the power balance shifted and Ginger becomes the alpha male.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of casting, Emily Perkins and Catherine Isabel showed up on the same day in Vancouver when they're running out of time to cast their two lead sisters. Their auditions were taped, sent to Toronto, and basically the production couldn't believe what they'd found. They had their two actors on the same day. And I've watched, they're online, or they're certainly on the DVD of this that I've got. The auditions are really good. And I think one nice thing about this movie is they don't look at all like sisters, but I never for a second don't believe they're sisters. I feel like...
Are you joking?
No.
Are you being serious?
No, of course I'm not.
What? Wait.
I am.
What?
Wait, come back to what?
So I think...
No, sorry, I didn't mean to sound that as callous. Do you think... Do you really think they're like sisters?
I think they act like sisters, big time.
No fucking way.
Cool.
This film is a queer love story. Fact. Back to front fact. But for whatever reason, they've been portrayed as sisters.
Right.
I don't think they are in any way sisterly toward... apart from the fact they don't look a fucking thing like each other. But whatever. Yeah. You cast who you've got and who's best for the role. They're not sisters. They don't talk to each other like sisters. They don't act like sisters. They act like lovers. That's fine. I don't know if it's because of the title. Or it's actually more subversive to go, yeah, they're sisters. They're not sisters.
That's fascinating because I agree with Chris. But that's because neither of us have a sister. And I watched this and, well, I assumed like they were, I think maybe it gets a pass in a way that you're not giving it because they are such outcasts because they have a suicide pact from when they were 8 years old. So by loading on these very strange things, it's like, well, they have a sisterly relationship unlike your traditional sister and sister relationship because of all these affectations.
I get it. And I think it makes the film more interesting if you're being told they're sisters, but they're not acting like sisters because there isn't a reason. You know, why are they outcasts? Because they're together. Why does everybody hate them? Because everybody else is straight. And so they're outcasts for that. But the film is saying on one hand, these are sisters, but what is in front of you is not sisters. The casting, the dialogue, the characters at the end, when Ginger says to B, we're not even really related. She's trying to have sex with her quote marked sister. They're trying to be together. I think, and so do some other people on the internet. It's a film about...
Where have you read this?
On the internet.
Who are you quoting?
I actually don't know. But you never for 1 minute think they're sisters. Sorry, but no. But it's good that they're presenting them as sisters because it's fucking weird.
If a film tells me these characters are sisters...
Do you think sisters talk to each other like that?
I don't know. I've not really encountered many. I usually just meet one of them.
It's very stylized, the dialogue in this. It's certainly very 1990s dialogue.
The
language they use. But it's kind of that, you know, it's that teen dialogue that was so popular at the time. It's a bit Kevin Williamson, isn't it, in terms of the snappy put downs of each other.
It's just never, to me, it's so, there's that reading, and then there's another, which both are valid, which is, they're outcasts because they're lesbians together. Or they're not. They're queer. They're finding their way. They will sleep with boys or not or whatever. They're getting their period super late. It's about them changing and not wanting to change and not wanting to lose each other because they just want to be together.
Well, and one wants to change and one doesn't want to change.
Yeah.
And that's pretty consistent through the movie.
I just think what's right in front of you on the screen is not a sisterly relationship, which at first annoyed me because it's like, that's ridiculous. But then I was like, oh, it's actually quite fun and clever because the film is going, yeah, sisters. But actually what you're seeing are lovers.
Karen Walton said, it's like the cast walked off the page into real life. I remember meeting Emily and Katie and being almost in tears, thinking this is eerie how perfect they are. It gives me goosebumps. What a lovely moment for a screenwriter. Yeah. And this is what Katie said. This was more recently. She spoke to The Guardian. She said, we did 3 or 4 auditions together before finally getting the roles as the sisters. In real life, I was very much this bitchy teenager who hated everyone. So Ginger was a good fit. But Emily, who was a few years older than me, taught me how the film was tied to oppression, sexuality, feminism, and objectification. Through her wiser eyes, I learned how important this story was. And it does feel like this film has been important to a lot of people.
Yes.
A lot of young ladies.
Yes. Not for its depiction of sisterhood.
For its depiction of werewolves.
So let's get into it, shall we? So we're in the suburbs, Bailey Downs. And I think the idea here is this story could be playing out next door.
Yes.
Although I've been shot, I thought, I was like, because I couldn't remember this movie, I was like, is this in the UK?
It looks like Leeds.
It really does. It looks like the suburb of Leeds. I was like, that pylon looks English. That's a very English pylon.
A toddler finds a clearly fake paw in a sandbox. Mum finds dead dog Baxter in the garden and she screams her head off. But the kids playing off ice hockey in the street ignore her. Everyone ignores her.
Yeah.
A lot of horror gets ignored in this film.
Yeah.
People are turning out lights when bad things are happening.
Well, she's underreacting. If that was Simon, I'd be on my knee. I'd be like gunning for people.
Yeah, of course.
I'd be going postal.
A lot of foreshadowing in this film. On the TV, someone says, can this happen to a normal woman? Ginger, what a line this is. Wrists are for girls. I'm slitting my throat.
Yeah.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because for a movie that opens with such a love affair with death photographs and all these different ways they're pretending to kill themselves, it then shies away from gore quite a lot as it goes on. You don't see much of the animal attacks.
Yeah.
You see the aftermath of them. Now, it could be a budget thing.
Mm. It's definitely a budget thing. I mean, they shoot it in quick cuts, don't they? So you can't quite make out what's going on when the wolf attack happens.
Yeah.
But, they're in the basement talking about their deaths. They've got this suicide pack since they were 8 years old.
Mad. Since you were eight.
Out by 16.
Oh, why? What's like? Even their mum doesn't treat them like sisters. Not really.
I think it's a. I mean, eight. Are you? I mean, granted, they are very unique characters. But even then, you like emotionally at 8 years old. Are you going? I know what a suicide pact is.
Yeah.
I really fully understand suicide. I'm prepared to make one.
It's very
with my sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out by 16 or dead on the scene is the line. And so, yeah, as Alex said, we've got this photo montage of death, dead on a fence, under a car, in a freezer, in a bath, garden fork, suffocated in trunk, lawnmower, pills, poison, wheelbarrow, bottom of stairs, hanged. I think there's one where she's underneath a garage door.
Yeah.
How did that death happen?
As in, how did she get squashed?
How do you get split by a garage door?
Have
you got to be lying underneath it?
That's in a horror film.
Yes, it but screams. She gets caught in the...
You're thinking of Rose McGowan's death.
Yeah.
Scream.
She's not underneath it at the bottom, though. You've got to lie underneath it for it to split you.
For some reason,
Could the chain... Because they're automatic doors, but potentially...
But how does it get you like that? Wouldn't it hit the top of your head? You've got to be lying down.
That's true.
Sorry, I'm asking the tough questions.
I found the poisoning one really, really upsetting. Like, I don't know why. I think it's because they've like, oh, it makes me feel weirded out. They've set the table for tea and they look like they're in a doll's house and they're in the shed. And I just found that so upsetting. I thought it was really good.
I like Mr. Wayne's reaction in class.
Yeah.
He's upset.
I'm surprised the class applauds them. I feel like the class would be sickened or pissed off with them.
Yeah, but they're leering because the boy says...
The boys are leering, yeah.
So that's why they would clap, I think. But yeah, I don't know why the girls would clap.
It's weird, isn't it? Because if you sort of compare that scene to Carrie's classroom scene at the start, and she's obviously the outcast in the class, isn't it? Tommy goes, "You suck," or something.
Yeah.
You know, she is not loved by her classmates.
Yep.
Whereas here, it goes for completely the opposite beat.
For now, until they're playing hockey, and then doesn't everyone hate them?
Yes,
well, it's because girls, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Well, I'm sorry. I take this very seriously. Don't smoke while playing hockey. It's very weird seeing hockey in a film. I'm just not used to it.
I was thinking of you the whole time.
Well, I'd forgotten it was in it. It's like, because it is a sport that gets dumped on, unfairly, I think. Because I think it's sort of a wusses sport, whereas it's actually really...
It's savage.
I know. It's football with a fucking weapon. I've broken so many bones playing hockey, but you kind of get laughed at for playing hockey.
I played hockey for like year seven. Why would you make a year seven child? You've just arrived at secondary school. They're like, here's a stick.
Here's a weapon.
This girl's going to hit you in the ankle really hard.
I'm pleased we finally crossed the threshold into hockey chat. I've been looking forward to this.
I'm done with it, by the way. It's a very boring subject.
It was brief, but it was lovely. It was informative.
Have you ever played hockey?
No.
We had to do it at school.
I remember girls had to do it at my school, but boys didn't. We played rugby, which was...
Worse.
I'd have much preferred hockey.
Yeah. No, I kept breaking fingers in rugby as well. I just kept breaking things.
That's because you weren't just standing away from everyone else shivering.
And I was smoking a cigarette. Although one thing, just to back on hockey chat, if I'm playing a game of hockey,
I knew it'd go on longer than he said.
That was
a massive one. I would notice it.
Yeah, you would. No one seems to notice until she gets a dog.
I mean, famously, dog in the playground. That was a chant that went out at school when there was a dog around. So a dead dog is double that.
Yeah. Trina knocks Bridget into the dead dog because maybe she overheard them calling her a cum bucket slut.
That's pretty intense.
Woo!
Good. Janitor gives Bridget a towel to wipe off the blood. Janitor? He doesn't look down her top, does he?
That's what Ginger says, though. She's like, he was looking down your top the whole time because...
She's a jealous girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm starting to come around to it.
She also says that Sam is trying to shag Bridget, which he isn't. So she's lying.
Yes.
Ginger's a liar. Bridget suggests they kidnap Trina's dog and make it look like it was eaten by this beast that's in town.
I'm not comfortable with all of this. I'm not comfortable.
There's a lot of dog death.
She kicks a dog at one point
as well.
I mean, granted, it's barking at her, but you don't kick someone's dog. Fact, it's not allowed. It's not accepted. A guy kicked Simon once.
No.
He was a puppy and he was like, he ran up to this guy. I think the guy had what he deemed dangerous dogs. They were on the lead and Simon shouldn't have run up to them.
Yeah.
But he did boot him and I froze.
To protect him.
If you're looking at it through a rose-tinted lens, let's say that, but you still don't kick a dog.
Don't kick a puppy, especially.
Exactly.
Oh,
I froze.
You didn't do anything.
Nettie went, fuck off!
Good!
I was like, god damn, I need to be better at life.
I had the same situation with my ex and that dog and the dog. I didn't know what to do, and she went apeshit, Gemma did.
I don't know what it is. Quite often this happens to me.
Someone hit Jasper.
So you have no fight or flight. You just freeze in place.
That's a third thing that psychologists have yet to cover. Fight or freeze?
I'm
an experiment waiting to happen.
I mean, it's slightly easier for the girl to have a go in that situation because they ain't going to get hit. We're definitely going to get hit.
And I think that's what it is.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I don't do that very well either. But we just do it anyway. I don't ever feel... If I do that, I don't think I'm safe. I just think, oh,
you'd be very unlucky for a bloke to hit you.
I would, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Trina, so we see her insecurity here when she's around Sam, which gives her a little bit of depth.
Yes.
In the school bully. Not much, but it's there. Family dinner. What a family this is.
Yeah.
Dad, he's just this empty vessel, isn't he?
I think he's well drawn. Those men exist.
Anything
for a quiet life.
And Mum's fascinating. I mean, we'll talk more about her as she gets more interesting. But I guess what they're establishing here is they're quite hands-off parents.
Yes, they live in the basement.
Which is how the sisters have become how they are down there, cut off from the... Just getting on with whatever they want, really.
And also, you smoke in the house, people will smell it. So clearly, Ginger is allowed to smoke. And her parents go, that's fine, because you can't hide that smell if you're not opening a window.
That's
We learn that they're 3 years late menstruating.
Mad.
Weird.
No one's taken them to a doctor.
When did you get your first period, Alex?
It came on during the Carrie episode.
Plug it up. Did it hurt?
It was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful. Yeah. The cramps are a real thing.
They are a real thing.
They find a dead dog, the third dead dog of the movie, and we're 20 minutes in.
Unbelievable. I was like, did you know? Are you picking movies just to see how I react to multiple dog death?
I think Ginger has blood on her, they think, and it's from the dog. No, it's the curse.
She's got the curse.
Her own body is screwing her. And then the wealth attacks. As I said, it's a series of quick cuts. I think it's quite frightening. I think it's shot pretty well.
I think it's really good.
Yeah.
Because of the... the screaming is unbelievable.
Then
when it drags her back as well, that's really good.
There's two really cool moments. One is where you see its weird form, because werewolf design is interesting. If you like werewolf movies, what they've done with the design is always fascinating. You see just enough of its body just before Sam's van crashes into it that you're like, oh, that silhouette. That and the Polaroid photo that Bridget digs out of the camera, I'm like,
yeah, it's good.
Scary. Scary. Although the eye is very different to the eyes that Ginger has when she's a werewolf at the end.
As Bridget saves her, as you say, Sam hits and kills the wolf with his truck. Sorry, Sam is the drug dealer. He's not quite established yet in the film. But.
He feels, if I can be honest, he feels like he's been parachuted in, maybe intentionally so, from American Pie into this movie. He feels kind of at odds with a lot of the other characters, even Trina. Like, you know, she's made, you know, like you say, she's got a bit of depth. He is cookie cutter, cigarette behind the ear, cool drug dealer, drives a cool van, deals pop.
But he is a nice bloke, and it's nice that there's one nice male character in the film.
I don't know if he is.
He's really nice. He really goes out of his way to help these people.
There's a moment which
he gets killed for it.
I think he earns his death by not immediately throwing Ginger off when she's trying to seduce him.
I mean, he does it after 10 seconds, though. I mean,
she has udders at that point, so I'm surprised it doesn't happen quicker.
We'll get to it, because watching it...
But she's got six.
Yeah, but they're still nipples. I think a female is a mammal.
That was utterly traumatic.
Yeah, but wolves, female wolves have udders, don't they?
They have nipples! What the fuck is
furry,
going on?
Furry udders.
No!
Simon's a male dog. I didn't have to study it.
I have nipples, Vicky. Can you milk me?
But do I have... Well, I don't. It's not the milk that's the thing.
Why
it's
are you pointing? No, point.
Your dirty pillows.
I'm so sorry.
Were you going to call them udders? Were you going to compare them to udders?
Apparently that's what they are. I don't understand.
Whatever.
Are they not?
They look udder-ish.
They look like nipples.
Fine, they're nipples. I don't mind. This is not, again, to use your most favourite expression, not a hill I want to die on.
Fair enough.
Nipples is great. I'm happy with nipples. But it's just they're just big, and she's half wolf at this point, is the main point.
But we're not there yet.
Yeah, we're not.
Because we're in biology class, and we're learning about an invader that consumes and destroys the host.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's fun. I mean, I feel like it's all a bit on the nose, but it's fun having all this stuff in there.
Yeah.
As Katie said of this, the female experience is perfect for horror. In puberty, your body forces all these changes on you that you never consented to. Then you are suddenly sexualized by the outside world, which you also didn't consent to. Ginger snaps tapped into the repressed otherworldly rage that comes with that process. It was cathartic for me to allow all those feelings with Ginger.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like, it's so clever. And you know, I can't remember what film we did, but it's like the joy of it is just like, oh, that someone else has noticed this thing. It's like Barbie or something. Mm. And when they're sitting in the nurse's office and she's like, it's every 28 days. And yes, she will get hair. You're like, oh, it's perfect. Like, it does work for the werewolf thing. I think the werewolf thing gets a bit muddy. I think the period thing gets forgotten about too quickly, which is they've noticed werewolves is with the moon and obviously periods with the moon. And so they've gone brilliant, smash them together. And then maybe pick one of them and really run with that rather than trying to do both at the same time.
I mean, I certainly, when they go and see the school nurse, I did go, God, it absolutely must suck having the same thing happen to your body every 28 days, as she says, for the next 30 years, give or take. I was like, God.
Especially if you get bad cramps or it's particularly painful. Some girls, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Whereas others, it's really bad,
isn't
it?
It's really bad. Yeah. It can just be, you just feel like you can't move or you do want to die.
Can we go back to hockey chat? I think I prefer...
I don't like talking about this like I know what I'm saying. I was trying to get it over to Vicky.
But you didn't. You went, let me tell you about cramps. That's what it felt like.
What, you?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to get it right. I'm trying.
At least he's trying.
Yeah.
Fine. I mean,
look at you two, you're a mess.
I struck out with others, so I'm not getting involved at all.
Are we done? Are we nearly done?
Chris, thank you. Thank you for giving me the floor for a minute there to talk about PMT.
Yeah, thank you for interrupting, Vicky.
Yeah, no worries.
Because you cannot bear it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. A man pisses blood in this, so it's parity.
Well, no, I mean, that is the film's version of we're going to give a man a period here.
Yeah.
His friends think he's got a period, and then his blood's coming out of his body where he doesn't want it to.
It's an age-old thing to say, but if men got periods, you would never hear the end of it, because they'd be like, fuck me! There's blood everywhere. Whereas women are just supposed to be like, well, we'll just deal with that. And no one will know and we'll hide it away and it'll all be shameful and all the rest of it.
Mine would be massive.
Do you think we... Oh my, yeah, why don't we show off about it? That's so weird.
I'm
like,
could.
I could fucking flood the place.
Shark week.
I used to faint. It was that sore that it used to knock me out.
Vicky. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because of blood loss?
And the pain, yeah, at the same time.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's really bad. That's really common.
I didn't know that.
That's okay.
I used to faint a lot when really hot rooms. I once fainted in assembly and Mr. Blank had to pick me up like a little doll and carry me out. Fine, lovely thing to do. Never, never, ever going to be viewed cool at school after you've been carried out. Like sort of like,
an embrace,
just
I guess.
Like carrying a body.
Well, a child, yeah. Oh, love.
That was from a nosebleed, actually. So it was, again, blood loss.
There you go.
That lad in my class who fainted when Rachel Ward got naked in 1984. We watched the film 1984. She took her clothes off and he was off. He was down. Man down.
Because all the blood had flooded to his face.
I mean, obviously that's what we all said. Yeah. That was the joke we made. But
that's a compliment to him then. If he requires that much blood. God, I'd have rather been that kid. Trust me. God.
I didn't say my dick's massive, so I fainted.
I didn't say his name, did I? I hope I didn't. No, I don't think I did. No, all right. Well done, Chris. So Ginger's already giving into peer pressure here. She goes for a smoke. This is where we get to meet Sam properly, the dealer with a heart of gold. He's confident, a lycanthrope. he's sort of our expert. I guess he's sort of like almost like our Van Helsing coming in.
Yeah.
Or Jamie Kennedy's character from Scream.
Yes.
We get the dog kick here. No thanks. Hair grown out of her wound. She cannot have a hairy chest. Vicky?
It's a thing.
I know.
Not up there.
I've got a really hairy chest.
You do.
We've established that many times.
Vigilance, constant vigilance.
Thick attracts moths.
Well, they get stuck in the weave. Yeah.
Vicky, how do you feel about Mum's celebratory period cake?
It's mad. I mean,
adult girl's a young woman now.
Yeah, I'm from a British repressed, buttoned up family, and we did not make me or my sister a cake when we came on.
Red all over it.
No, I don't. I don't know. I've never known a woman like that, but it is funny that she's so chuffed, I suppose.
Yeah, she's a unique character.
She's a brilliant character, Pamela, because. Yeah. She's odd, she's off kilter, she seems like a bad mum,
yeah.
She probably is a bad mum, but she also feels real to me. The mum and the dad feel real. I mean, they feel a little bit like they might be out of a David Lynch film, which I feel like a lot of this pays homage to David Lynch,
yeah.
But...
I mean, it's the fingers discovery that really goes, oh, she's that mum,
yes.
Later, where it's like, oh, they're real, but I'm going to say they're fake because I don't trust you, my husband,
yeah.
And I'm going to protect my children.
Yeah.
And we've got the sort of sibling rivalry that they've been putting into the film here where Ginger says to Bridget, you always wanted to be me.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that there's been competition between these sisters through the years.
Lovers, not sisters.
Or both, or something, both. Or something.
Yeah. Something.
Now we've got teen movie sequences. Ginger's now wearing a low-cut dress. She's strutting around school in slow motion. That's important in this period of time.
Walking the halls. That's the scene.
Yeah. We all want to see it. We expect it. We get it. She's got a tail. Wasn't expecting that.
That's
yeah.
A penis.
That's blah.
I think there's a rubbish subplot here where Bridget pretends she's the wolf. It's an hour and 47 minutes, this film. I think you could cut 10 minutes with Bridget not pretending to Sam that she's the wolf.
Yes.
Because it doesn't really go anywhere and it yeah. doesn't change anything.
The payoff is him going, I know it, she's...
Because she's the one with fangs.
I mean, do we need to talk about that? The fact that at no point does anyone go, look at your fucking mouth. Like, you've got, like, wolf's teeth. And people, like, she's sitting at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And also, weird, how many types of meat do they have at that dinner table? There's a scene later where there's a huge ham,
a big ham.
In the middle of the table. Mm. Dad's eating a chicken thigh. Do you have a huge ham, that much ham, and then a chicken thigh if it's not Christmas?
It's rude, isn't it? Like, weird. It's a mixed meat platter time.
It's just a strange decision. Pick
greedy.
Pick a lane with your meat choice.
Ginger goes with Jason now, who's a bit of a creep. The way he talks about women, but he's also just a bit of a teenage boy as well. He wants to get a shag, and he gets one. They get in the back of his car. He makes the mistake of saying to her, who's the guy here? And she says, who's the fucking guy here? And
she's
he asks,
amazing.
Yeah, she jumps. She gets on top of him now. He asks her to stop. She starts biting him. It's pretty horrific, this scene. But it's quite clever where it goes.
A little bit of misdirection,
good
isn't it?
Because
you
yeah.
think he's dead?
Yes.
He's not.
He's not dead.
No, I love it. I love the switcheroo there. Because it's not Jason who's dead. It's something or someone else, which we'll get to after this break.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's a dog.
Yeah, fucking dog, isn't it? Of course it's a dog.
It's another dog.
This is the worst.
Is that our fifth?
I haven't killed enough dogs.
Is that our fifth?
And this time, it's the sixth, seventh, eighth even. I think we're into double figures. It's sad because that kid is playing with his dog earlier and he clearly loves Norman. Let's give it its name. Clearly loves Norman. And like his face when he drops the bowl. And I don't think we even see Norman. Do we see Norman?
No, I don't think so.
It's just his reaction shot. I mean, is it necessary at this point to add to your movie the trauma of losing a pet if you're a teenage boy who clearly loves his dog and doesn't look like he has a lot of friends? He's not playing hockey with the other kids at the start. That's notable. So it's him and Norman, and they kill Norman. You see his face. It's fucking awful. Bad. Black mark against this movie.
But he wouldn't shut up. And to use the vernacular of the time, she feels wicked afterwards. That's because wicked is something we used in the 80s and early 90s, but in Canada, wicked is slightly different, but a very big word there.
Are you saying Canada takes a little while to catch up to the rest
of
the world?
No, they use it in a different way. They sort of say stuff is wicked good.
Okay.
Whereas we just say it's wicked.
Yeah, we're more efficient. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why use two words when you can just use one?
Chris.
It was Lenny Henry who got me saying the word wicked when I was about 8 years old. Okay. Delbert Wilkins, his DJ.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Mm. Spondicious as well. That didn't catch on.
Oof, Jesus.
No. And she has given the virus to Jason via unprotected sex.
Yes.
That's new, isn't it, for werewolf movies?
There's a lot going on, isn't there? Because the needle, and he's a drug dealer, it's quite druggy. You've infected someone. It's 2000.
He's a drug user. He's not the dealer, is he?
No, but when you... All this imagery.
Oh, I see.
Drugs, needles, infection. Like, the horse
too
being
much?
Overtaken.
Is it too much? I think it might be too much. And I think it's why, towards the end of this movie, it kind of loses me a bit because you're dealing with so many different things and what is the cohesive thing that you're meant to be caring about during the climax.
I agree.
Trina knocks her little sister over, so Jin just kicks the shit out of her.
Oh, that was really harrowing because that's
real.
A school fight. Yeah.
It felt real.
Horrible.
Is this still on the playground? This isn't when Trina's visited the house
yet. No, she just gets on top of her and just starts smacking her across the face. Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't going to say, but I think it's during more hockey.
It is.
Listen, I really enjoyed Hockey Chat. You want to make it a feature? I mean, Vicky's got Inflation Corner. I'm happy to do a weekly hockey roundup. Do you follow it?
No, it's really boring.
Fine.
Don't talk to you about it.
Glad we workshop that.
We learn about monkshood, which is a cousin of wolfsbane and could be our cure. I looked it up. It really is a beautiful flower.
Right.
But it really is deadly. Sam makes it very clear he doesn't think of Bridget that way. He's a good guy. I've written down something you've already said and I was noticing that fangs are becoming very pronounced here.
So do you want to wait until Trina comes around to the house to just have a quick chat about if Sam is actually a good guy? Because Trina says something really strange.
Really dark, yeah.
Yeah, unless I've got it wrong.
No,
Trina, for seemingly out of like something that's happened to her.
Yes.
And speaking from experience, she says Sam is a cherry hound. Mm-hmm. He likes virgins. Don't give him the satisfaction.
Yes.
Now, to me, not a good guy.
Not a good guy. No, it's good. And it makes Trina sympathetic just before she's going to get it.
Yep.
Because she's confused by what's happened and he's done that to her. So now she's like, oh, we're boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever. And she's misread that or been misled.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's gutted, basically. And it makes him seem a bit more awful. But that's fine. I like that. Like, he can be awful.
And
all right.
I'll be honest, what I'm saying, I just don't think he's as good a guy.
No.
A cherry hound is my favourite dog. It's a beautiful breed. So they're back at the house and Trina slips and cracks her head and dies. I don't know about that. I feel like we've seen that scene before, but it leads to some fun stuff. So they fool their parents into thinking they're taking another fake dead photo, which is very clever. And sort of suddenly they're interested in what mum has to say to throw her off the scent. So she grabs milk and cookies, which again, this feels very David Lynch to me.
Yeah. And then the dad says, do you not think something weird's going on? They want to hear what you have to say. It's great.
We get the line that girls can only be a slut, bitch, tease or virgin next door.
Mm. Yeah.
One for you, Vicky.
I've thought about this a lot. Like, am I any of those? Well, I'm certainly not one of those things, but like...
I wasn't asking that.
Hello, we're all friends. You know that. Yeah. I don't, and I get it from US high school movies, which you can only be these three things. And obviously your options...
Four.
And yeah, of course, your options feel limited. But I never was one of those, or not all the time.
You were Bridget.
Okay.
Slightly more outcast, but not in a dark, like, bully way. I just mean, certainly the girls at my school who were in Riot Girl bands were of a certain, like, they were like, we are fighting against the jocks and the popular girls by...
But did you like boys?
This identification.
I did like boys, yeah, but they were never...
Because Bridget wants nothing to do with the boys, not yet.
Do you know, but very late, so not 15, is that right? No, I don't know. I was all very late starting in that department. But also I was like, look around me, there are no boys in this town that will do for me.
Hello. I'm gonna go to New York. Hello, Blackburn.
I'm not joking. Like, that's the hill I will die on. I was like, I'm here. Oh, fuck's sake.
When did you first realize you like boys? 15?
I describe myself as all sorts of different things, but yeah, I'm a big fan of boys.
You can be more than one thing.
As we are constantly told.
Literal blue velvet here, where she finds the fingers on the grass and, as Alex said, doesn't say anything. Mum's got monk's hood in the kitchen. What? Yeah. It's like, what? Okay, yeah. I guess we've got to get to the end quickly.
I got it from a craft store because I needed it from a craft store.
And it's deadly and now it's in the house. It slows down a bit here, but we're just trying to get all the pieces in place. Bridget makes Ginger go cold turkey. But Ginger escapes and shows a guy her tits in the corridor.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And then gets Mr. Wayne, takes her to his office so he can die.
Kills teacher. Janitor accidentally lets Ginger out. He gets killed for his troubles. Mm. Although, was he looking down her top? I don't know. He seemed like a nice person.
He did.
But, you know, that mask of sanity could slip at any time.
But I do think he's a nice person. This is the first time... Ginger kills someone who doesn't deserve it, in quotation marks.
Yeah.
And so, but that's a big turn for her, isn't it? She is a villain now who maybe has to die at the end of the film.
Absolutely. I've seen a lot of this film at this point and I'm looking forward to seeing a fucking werewolf. It's been a long time in a werewolf movie to go without a werewolf.
She tells her sister, it feels so good, like touching yourself. And after... fucking fireworks.
Sisters don't talk to each other like that. But people that are familiar with each other's bodies in that way would.
Mm.
I just don't see it. Sorry, maybe I'm incredibly repressed, which is possible.
So, but Ginger's a monster now. She's talking like a monster now.
Yeah, Chris and I talk to our brothers like that. All the time. All the time. It's like fucking fireworks down there, little brother.
I talk to your brother like that.
God, do you see how awful that is?
Pete talks to me like that.
I text James all the time with that information.
Sometimes just a gif of fireworks, this. A lot like this.
Right.
James, I was a supernova last night.
You should be really offended.
He's fine with it. Very, very liberal man.
So we are into the greenhouse party.
Now, fun
concept for a party.
I didn't know he was having a party.
Seems a really a big mistake to have a party at your place
with
of business when your business is drug dealing.
But it's a good location.
Yeah, it's good.
For a party in a film.
Yep.
They think Ginger is in a werewolf costume. Thank God, because she's on the turn. Now we get maybe the most interesting scene in the film where Mum has picked up Bridget, blames herself for what they're going through, and suggests blowing up their house and leaving town, including her husband and their dad.
You came along and I had to blow the whole place up.
Which I love this.
Kind of plays out, again, this dual read. That's the scene where your daughter has gone, Mum, I think I might be gay or I think I might not be straight. And you've gone, I understand. I will do anything to protect you. Like, you can read it like that, I think.
Sure.
But if you, otherwise it's a bit odd. But because I think Mum has kind of had enough of there's another read on, like, Mum's had enough of straight life as well, doesn't want it. Because she's like, all men are the same. Your dad's hopeless. Let's fuck this right off.
Yeah.
She's had enough of dad.
Yeah.
He's a bad dad and a bad husband.
I mean, she's literally suggesting to light the fuse on a new existence.
Ginger comes on to Sam here. And so, it was helpful for me to watch it a second time. Mm. I mean, it goes on for maybe 5 seconds, but he pushes her to the ground and shouts, "Get off me, I told you to stop."
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
When you're having sex with a half werewolf.
who then breaks your arm.
Yeah. And then you don't think, I've been incapacitated here. I might sit out this fight with an actual werewolf.
He's brave. He's our hero for a few seconds.
He's high.
I don't think he's ever high, is he?
I don't know. Don't get high.
Don't supply. So Bridget shows up and sort of starts pretending she's going to join Ginger to try and lure Ginger home. But before she can do that, Sam hits Ginger with a shovel. Mum is now left in the car outside the party for the rest of the film.
For the rest of the film,
I think she goes into the party, but the last time we see her, she's wandering through a party with some finger Tupperware, which is just a strange end for her
character.
Yeah,
it's a weird end. It doesn't all line up. And now we've got the wolf. So this is how the director, Mr. Fawcett, describes it. "I wanted it to be more skin and muscle than fur or hair. I really wanted to get away from the guy in a fur suit trap of other werewolf movies. I was going for a skeletal look. I wanted it to be more hellhound than werewolf, actually. Ours is a garden variety werewolf. It's not the mythological creature born under the full moon. Rather, it's treated in Ginger Snaps as a biological infection that grows from the inside out through the bloodstream."
Fine.
Some info for you. I know you like this bit.
I do enjoy this climax for the practical effects. I think they're great. I think the werewolf looks great. And hearing him describe it as not wanting fur, wanting it to be all sinew and muscle, absolutely, absolutely brilliant. It's a new take on something that we've seen so many different versions
of. I like it. It's like you said, that just sort of affirms that the idea that the curse, every 28 days, it's the moon because of your period, that's gone now, because it's like, oh, it's in your body and it's just going to come out over a shorter amount of time.
Well, I guess, but it is the date. They make it very clear this is the right date for it.
Oh, okay.
Because she's got the calendar, I think, from the period box earlier, which is nice.
But the presumption is that once she's transformed, there's no going back. It's not back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. It's like, because the other werewolf had been killing sporadically for over the course of a month, so it doesn't seem like transforming.
You're right. There's probably more of it in the prequel and sequel that I haven't seen.
I haven't seen it, but I couldn't believe they existed. I had an idea there was a sequel, but then the prequel, the Ginger Snaps Back, like, I was like, great, I love that idea. Like, why not set it in a, like, you know, historical time or whatever? But
yeah, like From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
Three shot back to back, they were. Although in the third film, I think Ginger only shows up as a ghost a few times.
Correct. It's great. I mean, they didn't do... So I was like, I'm surprised. I mean, there was a bit of a fuss about this. But they didn't do much money at the box office, so they must have been on home video.
Yeah, don't need to when you're a video title like this.
Yeah.
So it's quite a lengthy climax here. It goes on for a while. Sam gets it in the neck, basically.
I think it's Bee's watching him be eaten, because he's like, right, this is the plan, I'll go. And she's like, yeah, okay. And then the normal way that scene plays out is he's getting eaten and she tries to do something, but she's too scared, obviously. Mm. But also another way is he's maybe getting something that he a little bit deserves if he is a baddie, which is she's just watching him be eaten.
I think the moment where they're both, it's a split second shot. He's lying against the wall, and on one side, a giant wolf is lapping up his blood. And on
fucking
the other
hell,
side,
this is unreal.
Bridget is licking up his blood. I was like, Oh, that's a cool moment because he's still alive at that point.
It's just mad.
He's breathing there like Miles Bennett in Terminator 2.
I think someone's gone, or he's gone. I'm going to do that because that is a great death in T2.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
We're not quite sure why Bridget is drinking his blood. So, I think it's because Ginger wants her to join her. She's made that clear in the last couple of scenes.
Yes.
And so Bridget is trying to join her to stop her killing Sam, but she can't do it. And she says she can't, and it makes her sick. The blood literally makes her vomit.
It's a lot.
And she says, I can't, I won't. But I think she's trying to save Sam here.
Yeah, me too.
But Ginger just finishes Sam off. When Ginger realises Bridget won't join her, she's like, fuck this, I'm killing Sam.
But I think you're absolutely right with that analysis. I just think it's just a bit confused because she is infected now.
She's already too late,
So she must be, blood must be offering her the same thing it's offering Ginger. She must quite like it. So is this, her mental capacity to overcome this virus inside her that's stopping her doing it? Because she should be like, this is actually fucking great.
I think that is the explanation, but I don't think it holds water.
No, I mean, this whole climax, I'm just a real stickler for things being quick. You want to believe and understand exactly what's going to happen. First of all, there seems like a lot to do. You have watched a 5-minute sequence where Sam makes the potion from the flower. Took a while heating it up, adding alcohol. That feels like when they're chasing around the house, they've still got that to do. And you're like, I know this climax is going to have to stop at some point for a make the potion moment and then return to what I'm actually enjoying. And the other thing is, she only got one syringe of it, and they're both infected. And she wastes the other one on that guy earlier. She seems very, very haphazard with these syringes and the rules of who's going to need them when.
And I think on a basic writing level, she's walking down the steps and she's like, oh, I'm overcome, I feel ever so faint because I'm a werewolf or whatever. Oh, fuck, I've dropped it. And it's like, no. Like, you've either got, it's not much better, but something that was there before you trip over it, like seed it in. But you can't just be like, you can imagine the writing, she feels faint, she drops a needle. You'd be like, oh, that's so frustrating.
Yeah.
No.
And she never uses it even at the end.
What's the point of it?
She tries. So she's got the knife in one hand, syringe in the other, and she offers a syringe to Ginger and says, you want this? And then the wolf jumps on her, lands on the knife.
Yeah.
And so I did watch that a second time to see if she is purposely, if Ginger's got the choice here, I can live or die.
Mm-hmm.
I can, but I'll no longer be a wolf. Does she kill herself? Does she not? It isn't clear. And she looks like she's trying to kill Bridget.
Yeah.
But I like the ambiguity. You know, maybe she's made that decision. I'd rather die than kill my sister or be cured.
Yeah.
And it sort of, does it make Bridget the villain here? Because she won't, not just, as I said in my intro, let Ginger be Ginger. Ginger's now this. And she's happy. She likes it.
She likes it.
A giant wolf thing that's going to wander around killing more dogs. I mean, I don't know that she should just be left like that. There are some things that shouldn't maybe exist. I mean, she is being contaminated by a virus.
She's happy.
Is she?
She's discovered herself.
Is maybe Ginger still trapped in there and isn't loving it?
Well, that's the opportunity she has here to jump on the syringe, and she doesn't.
Yep.
So Bridget lies on Ginger as she dies, meaning ultimately Ginger gets her wish from the start of the film, which is to die in the suburbs.
Fine.
End.
The end.
And then there's some really lovely tragic music, which I was impressed by over the end credits. So, favourite scene, Vicky?
It's not my favourite scene, but I just did love the death montage at the beginning. I'd forgotten about that. I think it's very good. But the werewolf attack on Ginger, for budget, it's brilliant. Like, and both of them are doing a very good job of being very scared, but especially the screaming. I just thought it was really good. And just that drag back's brilliant. Like, you don't see that. Do you see that any other time in the film? No. So people just get bitten and that's it. So anyway, I just thought it was very good. So that's my favourite scene.
Alex?
Agree. All the wolf stuff at the end. I think the wolf is absolutely fantastic. Look, I'm a simple guy with simple tastes. If you're going to make a werewolf movie, you show me some werewolf and it doesn't disappoint. It puts it all there front and centre. It doesn't shy away like in the attack earlier. It's like, this is what we've built. We believe in it. Have a look at this. And I'm like, fantastic. Especially, I mentioned it earlier, those eyes. It's got lifeless eyes. Black eyes. Like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you,
He doesn't seem to be living until he bites you.
Okay.
Yeah. I found Ginger's death quite emotional at the end, when Bridget's looking at their sort of life together, the siblings growing up together, and you're like, this is just a phase. They'll soon be through this if she just could have got through it and not died.
And I love that because it's a dog dying and it touched me emotionally.
But I think it brought forth the tragedy of the story. Most valuable whatever. Alex.
Special mention to Peter Keligan, who plays Mr. Wayne. He has two scenes and he bosses the shit out of both of them. He's so funny. But I think my MVW, I was going to say Emily Perkins because I think she's very, very good at Bridget, but it's Mimi Rogers. I think that character is fascinating, funny. I want to know more about her. I wish she had more screen time, and my change involves that. But yeah, Mimi Rogers as Pamela.
And they basically sold the film off the back of having her in it. You know, she's name above the title actress.
Yeah.
Vicky.
Catherine Isabel as Ginger. So when we said we were going to do this film, because it's called Ginger Snaps and I knew that one of the girls was called Ginger, my memory was, oh, I think she's a bit much, it's a bit rich for my blood kind of thing. And I am wrong. Very, very wrong. Like, that dialogue is irritating when you're a bit grown up and it is very, like, of its time, a bit try hard. But she just goes for it. And she, you have to, don't you? Like, when you've been given those lines, like, you just have to throw yourself into it. She is all in with it. And I do think she's brilliant. Like, it's a bit cringy, the way that the sisters, in quote marks, are with each other initially. But sometimes when they're in separate scenes, she just is, like, who's the guy scene? She's fucking amazing. So I don't know why I don't know her more from after this.
Well, I'm voting for Katie too. And there's a film called American Mary that you should watch.
Right.
She is very, very good in that. She's brilliant. She's actually become a bit of a horror icon. She's in Hannibal. She's made lots of horror films. And okay. She's just a really good actress.
Yeah.
So she gets my vote too. And what would you change, Vicky?
Oh my God, that wig is driving me insane. The wig, the fucking wig. I can't watch
Ginger's
this film.
Ginger's wig.
Are you joking? What is wrong with you two
today? I don't
today?
Spot wigs.
No.
You can't miss.
And wig work
you
is
cannot
wig work.
Miss this wig.
Right.
Emily Perkins, in the screen test that Chris was talking about, she shaved her head. She got a buzz cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she wasn't sure if she was going to get a callback. It's a little film. It was delayed, you know, developments, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
So not Ginger's wig, Bridget's wig.
Bridget's
what she's
fucking
just said.
Wig.
Right, okay, yeah. Sorry. I thought you started with Ginger's wig. Right,
no.
Bridget's wig.
So anyway, she shaved her head and then she gets a callback and she's like, oh, sorry, I shaved my head. And she looks very young with shaved hair. And so the filmmakers were like, it just is too much really for this character. So they gave her a wig. The idea is she doesn't look after her hair. She's not that sort of person. That's all fine. But there's points where it's her hairline is like on her eyebrows and you can see the weave in the thing. You can't see her scalp. It's like there's points of it where if I was the character Sam, you'd be like, I just want to pull it. Like, it's just such a bad wig. That I can't cope with. You know, if she was a person that wears a wig, what a character, she's like, this is my wig, fuck off, fine. It's meant to be natural hair and it doesn't look like natural hair and I find it very distracting. And I know that's petty as shit, but there are some scenes where I'm just looking at her wig because I can't take my eyes from it. The other actual change is, wouldn't it be great to see a version of this where they just are teenage lovers and their fear is being outed, their fear is growing up and being visible. And when Ginger's, it's a good line of dialogue, but it is very weird where she's like, she knows she's coming on and she says to her sister, oh, if you catch me simpering around tampon machines, and it's like, how else do you think you're going to manage this thing? Like, what is your fear of your period? But it's your fear of being like everyone else. And everyone else, I think, in this town means straight. So you don't want to be simpering around a tampon machine. But women don't simper around tampon machines. They just get tampons from them. They're not like, oh, my period is so amazing. Like, she's just nervous about growing up and being like everyone else because she's been in this very intense relationship with her same-sex friend for a while and now everything's got to change. So that's the version I would like to see. And then they can, you know, it's about putting aside childish things. They've got this childish, intense teenage romance and then they can love each other as adults and be visible and be out and be in their town and it'll all be fine.
Maybe you need to make this film, Vicky. Yeah. Not sure they did.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, if we're doing our changes, it is basically the version of this movie that we both want to see. And mine is not this movie either. Look, werewolf movies, I think, are one of the toughest genres in horror to get right. I think, you know, for every good werewolf movie, there's probably five or six that just don't make the grade. And look, if Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson, the Scream Dream Team, can screw things up as badly as they did with Cursed, with all their combined talent, it's a tough genre to get right. I think this idea that John Fawcett had, this body horror transformation, is fine. I don't think it works for me and what I personally want from a werewolf movie, which is a werewolf. And I want her to have transformed earlier. I want to see the regularity of the transformation. I want to see them dealing with that. I want to see her using her werewolf abilities, a bit like what happens in Carrie with her telekinesis. I want to see her using her werewolf abilities to take out the people at school who've treated her and her sister badly. I think that's an exciting movie for me because I want a werewolf. I mean, you know, on a purely what is scary to me level, I find werewolves scary. And the bit where the werewolf stalks the guy around the tube in An American Werewolf in London genuinely gives me the shivers. And I just think you've got a werewolf here. And I like what they do with it at the end, but I want to see that thing stalking people in this suburban town. I want to have that horror of the idea that this malevolent dog creature is out there creeping round and death could be round any corner. And the film don't do that. So for me, it's not the kind of movie that I wanted with a werewolf.
I'll keep mine brief. I think the change is in the film. I think the end. I don't think the mum should tell us what she wants to do. I think the mum should do that at the end of the film. I think she should realise that what's going on with her daughters and have found out a way to maybe manage it, manage the werewolf-ism. Yeah. And so I think Ginger and Bridget should fight at the end, and I think Bridget should start turning, or she's already turning.
Ooh, werewolf
and
so, fight.
And so, yeah, have a werewolf fight at the end and have the mum stop them and then take them on the journey, go on the run with them.
Wait, are they two werewolves sitting in the back of a car?
No, she's found a way to man. You're not listening!
They're eating wine gums.
Are we there yet?
So, mum has found out a way to manage this.
Right, sorry.
We can figure that out. Okay. When we discuss the changes properly.
I don't know. I think we should see two werewolves in a people carrier, Chris. I think you might have hit something the nail on the head there. I've not seen that in a werewolf movie before.
Make it happen.
Lovely. If we're ready, it's time. For the verdict.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
So I've sort of gone already, so I'm just going to jump in and go first here because, like I said, I've just pretty much said it. I like Ginger Snaps, but I found the storytelling uneven, and by the end I'd lost the thread of what was happening and what the consequences were, and it didn't, for me, very personal, deliver what I want from a werewolf movie. Carrie is an incredible film. It makes me sad, so I don't enjoy watching it, but I can appreciate what a piece of work it is, so my vote is simply for Carrie V.
It was actually closer than I thought it was going to be honest.
Okay.
When I was watching Ginger Snaps for the first hour, I was like, this is so clever. That scene with the nurse is so, so clever. I absolutely loved it. But I think it just needs a bit of a cleaner through line. So there's the wolf stuff, the period stuff, the infection stuff, that B is in Ginger's shadow and Ginger is domineering and then she's not. And is it about one sister slash lover overcoming her more domineering partner and all this other stuff? And sometimes the dialogue in those scenes just feels a bit like we've forced that scene. So it's like, you know, you always wanted me and no, you didn't, and all the rest of it. It just didn't hit the way it should. So, but as Mark Parsons said, famously, Carrie is quite episodic for a feature film. It's a bit telly, isn't it? Before the Black Prom.
Is it episodic?
No, I mean, like...
Again, not Mark's word, yours.
Yeah, it's not like... What I mean is there's not much going on for a feature. It's just high school bullying.
That's not what episodic means then.
I know.
Oh, it's a learning curve for you the last 2 weeks, titillating.
Excuse you. Excuse you. You sit the fuck back down.
I really appreciate you learning. Normally you're the teacher. Fascinating. Fascinating.
It started... So, all right. No, I'm not going to do this now. No, it's fine. It's just quite telling that if I make one mistake, wow. two mistakes.
What does not do this now mean?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, sorry. Anyway, so is it episodic? Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, once you get to the Black Prom, it's all amazing. So, but yeah, closer than I thought. But obviously, Carrie is just better. So that's the winner for me.
So Carrie is our winner. But Chris, are you going to make it a Full House?
You can't kill all those dogs and expect to be crowned film of the week. I mean, you've got to throw a cat in, for God's sake. Dogs don't like cats. I bet wolves don't. Kill a fucking cat.
Rabbits. Could be stables nearby.
Also, Carrie is incredible. Everything about's incredible. I love this movie. Carrie all the way.
It is 3-4-3. Carrie is our definitive winner on the show this week. But of course, as always, you can have your say. Tell us how right or wrong you think we got it when the listener poll goes up on our Twitter at Clash Pod. Right, let's look ahead to the next week of Shocktober. And the clue Vicky gave on Monday was...
this time of year is so commercial.
So what are we doing, Vicky?
I don't know which one was first. Does it matter?
Yes. Halloween.
Mm. Halloween 3.
Yes.
Is it Season of the Witch?
It is Season of the Witch, which we will discuss that subtitle next week.
Thank you so much.
Interesting conversation.
And is it called The Stuff or
it is.
Stuff? So it's Halloween 3, colon, maybe, Season of the Witch.
Correct. Yep.
Versus The Stuff.
Correct.
That's absolutely right. Halloween 3 is available to rent on Apple and YouTube. On Amazon, you need a subscription, and the stuff is all sorts of places.
And just go with them, you know? Not all films are made the same. They don't all have the same structure.
I think you're nervous about
No, I'm not at all, because I watched them both the other day. I cannot wait.
I saw the trailer for this stuff. I was like, it does look very fun.
It's deranged.
So excited about this pairing. This is why we do Shocktober. It's for pairings like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Halloween 3, colon, Season of the Witch versus The Stuff. That is next week's pairing. Do your homework. Get Halloween 3 watched over the weekend, ready for Monday, because our countdown to Halloween continues next week. In the meantime, do subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get the pods, and we will be back on Monday as we talk Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Have a lovely, lovely, spooky weekend. Bye-bye.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.